Friends, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast Quick Hit. We're going to do September 1st, 2017 from Dick's Sporting Goods in Denver, Commerce City, Colorado. And we're here with a good friend, Mike Lowe. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Brad?
Great. Thanks for taking the time out of your probably foggy morning to do the Quick Hit.
It's been a slow-paced wake-up this morning, but I'm feeling pretty good right now. I actually have quite a bit of pep in my step from last night's show. So, looking forward to another day.
Perfect, man. That sounds great. So, let's talk about yesterday, the September 1st, the first night of the Labor Day run. I guess this is the sixth, maybe seventh, I don't know. I don't have it in front of me, but... run at Dick's here in the Labor Day. So, talk about your ride to the venue and all that kind of stuff.
Stuff on the lot. Well, everything was really quite smooth. You know, we fortunately had the CID bus left from downtown, and if you haven't been to Dick, the only thing I will say to take care of before you get here is your transportation. That's it. But it was a smooth ride in. We got right into the show, quite a bit more traffic. I noticed a lot more cars parked on what used to be empty green lots around the venue. It just seemed like a lot more people in general were here, sure. Which is sort of what I anticipated. We got parked, and the scene outside was great. Huge scene on Shakedown, lots of music. For me in particular, I was super excited by the beer selection. Lots of Vermont beers running around.
Nice.
Happened to grab a sip of Sunshine, and I don't think I've seen the grassy knoll as crowded as it was either. I sort of did a quick stroll through and didn't have as much time to stay and hang. But hopefully, we'll spend more time there today and tomorrow.
I saw that, a few pictures of the grassy knoll seem to be just flocked with people. So that's pretty cool.
Super crowded. Yeah.
So all three nights well in advance were sold out. I guess that's happened maybe once or twice before, but it seemed even more so this year. And it sounds like just the volume of people from the start, to you was more than usual, especially for a Friday night show.
Yeah, no, it was packed in there. I mean, we can talk more about inside the venue, but, typically I've always felt like my other experience here was that, it's pretty free and not open, but there's a little bit of room on the field.
That's a big place.
And there was none of that last night, even at the back of the field. It sort of opened up a little bit on the outside, but, I know there was a really big deal last year with getting into the venue, and, there definitely seemed to be a couple backlogs at some of the gates, but, honestly, it was pretty easy getting in.
Good.
Maybe a 10-minute wait and right in. We have a little bit more to deal with because my sister-in-law's in a wheelchair, so we had to figure out our way down backstage.
Sure.
And unfortunately, we were just a little late, and they had closed the area off because the man was about to walk through.
Oh, nice.
My vantage point for Blaze On was actually up on the bridge behind the stage. So I wasn't quite in the mix of everything, but was paying attention carefully. And anyway, we can talk more about the show, but I felt like the scene outside was very celebratory, was a lot of happy faces.
Good.
And
and
getting in was, I would say, simpler than last year. So
that's good to hear. And it seemed like Fish was trying to take care of those logistical administrative sorts of things from the get-go, with a couple of Facebook posts or tweets or whatever they put out about No tarps, no blankets, you know, all GA, GOTA section, whatever, or gate, whatever. Did you see any issues with blankets or tarps? That's always a burning question for us anti-tarpers.
You know, I know. And I did quite a few passes on the field, but I didn't get probably closer than, you know, in the first section between the board and the stage.
Okay.
But I got to say, I can't imagine there were any tarps down last night. I really just, I don't know how that would have, I mean, it was more of the, everybody put your stuff into bag pile kind of a scene.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, I didn't see one single tarp last night.
Good.
So that's, I think people follow direction. Yeah.
So
for the most,
the other thing I wanted to kind of ask about, I guess before we get into the show, did you hear the scuttle of the set break, fight, I guess you could call it. It wasn't really a fight, that you could see on the webcast. Did you guys hear about that at the show or after the show or anything like that?
You know, I didn't hear about that at all until I got on Twitter this morning. We were, you know, so was that on the field?
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's that pulled back kind of background
that,
shot that
open
they have.
Shot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, with they've got the layover of fish or whatever their logo is.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah. I, you know, that's the one section of the field that I didn't really access. I just feel the need to get that close. But no, I wasn't aware of any of that at the show, and didn't hear about it afterwards. And yeah, it was sort of news to my ear. News to me this morning.
Well, obviously the Twitter picked it up quick, and everybody was talking about it. But the show should not be ignored just because of some stupid idiots. Anyway,
that's unfortunate.
It looked like security handled it anyway, but that's good. So let's talk about the show. You're on the field, huge venue full of people. I mean, 20,000+ for sure. And they start with they open. With a pretty appropriate blazon for the state of Colorado, huh?
Yeah, I was, you know, I know there's always a lot of, you know, what are they going to open with? And I tried not to think too much about it. And when they started with that, it seemed perfect fit, of course. And they were off, they were sort of off to the races right out of the gate with that.
Right.
I'm not sure if it ever left the actual song structure, but it definitely diverged into sort of parallel areas. There were some modulations in that, but I wouldn't say that it maybe quite got to a type 2 jam. It's questionable, but they were playing with that right off the bat, and that made me very excited for what was yet to come. So
yeah, and then I don't know if you noticed, but in between, I saw on the webcast, in between Blazon and 5:55, Trey was really messing with his rig, which he did all night, I guess. But I thought, you know, we were something crazy, but it was just him fine tuning for 5:55, which is a pretty standard 5:55. Although I have to say that Mike kind of stood out all night. I don't know if that was the same for you guys. I know that the Dick's sound is pretty incredible for Mike. So tell us a little bit about
that. It's incredible. Mike was very, sort of high in my mix of listening last night. I was keying on John a lot. I feel like Fishman was, and of course Trey and Paige, but you know, I seem to be following to Fishman a little bit more than I usually do. And then would go to Paige, who, as soon as he would get involved in the jam, immediately it goes in a new and sort of energetic direction. I think, you know, in the 5:55, we were making our way to our seats, but I'm not sure if it was there or just later in the set. I feel like I heard possibly a tease of the Most Events Aren't Planned, the Vita Blue song.
Yeah, yeah.
Around there. And was that 5:55? Also Trey has his, that Radiohead, I don't know what they call that little palette
delay.
He uses.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so I noticed he was obviously on that throughout the show,
Matt would
and then
know.
The second set.
We talked about it. You know, I think I feel the same. We'll talk about set two later, but coming out of the first end of No Man, I thought they were going to play. It seemed like there was a little tease of that. Most Events Aren't Planned there as well. But they obviously went into a pretty incredible jam and then finished it again. the No
Yes.
Man. So, I mean, just crazy, crazy. So, but let's finish out the first set. Breath and Burning.
Sure thing.
Nice 10 minutes, theme 10 minutes, free 10 minutes, tube exactly 10 minutes, they say. Rogue was 10 minutes.
You know,
I mean, geez, Louise, crazy.
Yeah, that little run was really nice. The tube was especially good. I felt a little bit of the Baker's Dozen vibe in that tube, to be honest. It sort of left the typical direction they take with the jam. And the free was excellent, again,
nice.
And the Roger. You know, there'll be arguments, you know, and I've already heard seen some comments of potential DEGs and blah, blah in the Roger.
Right.
It's possible.
Right.
I haven't listened back yet, but there was some very special counterplay happening between Trey and Mike
really
during that.
Mm-hmm.
And that little half hour was a nice little run of tunes. I think it was it was 3-2 Roger.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And that was great.
Set. I mean, if you think of the opening, if you take the three songs, you know, the free is that nice funky rocker tube,
yeah.
His tube, just amazing peak.
Yep.
And then, you know, they kind of ease their way out of it. But I mean, it was super complex, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the Roger was, I mean, I'm patient isn't the right word, but you know, they were, definitely in the moment, the whole, you know, with every song I heard last night, they were just, you know, everything was so well played. And
yeah,
it was just such
on.
A treat to
right.
hear it. You know, it might not, the first set might not jump out on paper necessarily, but you should go hear it.
you
might be surprised.
Yeah. Looking at the first set though, there's, you know, the three opening songs are new, 3.0
yep.
and then a theme and a free and a tube. You know, and then the Rogue.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the theme was excellent as well.
Yeah,
that I had forgotten
right?
about.
Yeah.
It's always great. And there was several peaks in that theme as well.
Yeah,
as I recall. So.
But then a super peak
yeah.
at the end when they close with more, which is actually, I was thinking about that yesterday, just how great
yep.
of a first set closer it is. So it's, I'm sure you guys enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. No, that, you know, there's, the energy level, everybody was singing along on the field. There was a lot of, you know, it was a very positive vibe and sort of like a hug from the band in some ways.
Yes, sure.
And yeah, I think it's a great, it works really well as a closer and didn't expect anything after that.
Right, right.
So yeah, I think, you know, I'm happy that they find other songs that can fit the role. You know,
right,
of closing
right.
a set, as opposed to like, let's just play Possum or Character Zero or whatever. But they have a little bit more to choose from. It seems like at this point,
they sure
and
do.
That makes it exciting.
So deep, such a catalog, and they went to some pretty standard, you know, epic vehicles in set two of the first night. You know, with
yeah.
the No Man is a new one, but Carini, Ghost, Hood. I mean, it's like, geez, guys, save some for later. But talk about it. Talk about the overall second set, you know, and
yeah.
the highlights for you.
I mean, I've just been to just over 100 shows, and that set stands out really large right now. I was really high on the 12-30-16 second set, and this
okay.
set sort of reminded me of that a little bit. But I think it was even better. And so No Man's Plan was just straight out outrageous. And this seems to sort of fit like something that I've noticed with Trey is, you know, at times he'll pick out a theme and the show sort of gets a theme, whether it's Cross-Eyed and Painless or I Saw It Again. And he sort of entered that space, I think, with the No Man's Plan last
sure.
night. It's sort
sure.
of, you know, I don't think it's quite notated, you know, they came in and out of that several times later in the set. It sort of would creep up. But
we've,
that
we've
run
talked about that a lot too. It's, and I think Ghost in particular, you know, a couple
yep.
songs after he comes in and out of it again. But to me, it seems like they're comfortable, you know, and I'm sure you, you know, he
yeah.
is comfortable. There wasn't much of a letdown at all since the Baker's Dozen. I mean,
I hear, no, I
uptick.
Hear almost the same band. It's amazing. Yeah, no, I don't, it's amazing to me. They took time off. And I don't think they had a whole lot of time here at the band before Friday. just as a side note. So I did actually see John Fishman on Thursday night, and I think so the fact that they sort of hit it out of the gates like that, and I was getting inklings that might happen just based on the reports I was getting sound check, which sounded incredible as well, and I'd love to hear that at some point.
Definitely.
Apparently it sounded like a 20-minute jam, and Dread was involved, possibly like a Makatsuba jam. But anyway, back to the show.
We'll have to get that on if we can, for sure.
I think the first, just the amount of time, I mean, the first three or four songs of the second set, that I think the first four is almost 75 minutes of music. And, I mean, that was killer for me to
so incredible.
Experience and all of us.
Yeah,
and
it's almost a late 1.0 four-song second set, you know, that everybody's been craving since then. But this isn't the slow, whatever kind of funk rock you want to talk about, you know, the negative connotation that people put on the end of 1.0. I mean, this is peak Fish, I think, still.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, not to be, you know, he needs to be mentioned, too, but throughout the No Man and all these first three or four songs, Chris Kuroda was just amazing. And the lights started moving forming their wave, and you know, to see that rig now at Dick's, you know, the indoor shows are great, and in a lot of ways, being at Dick's, it's outside, but the sound on the field, you might as well be inside. I don't know why it's so good, but the sound just reverberates from and gets
so
trapped,
perfect.
I think, by the roof.
Yeah, I was going to say
it's
maybe
fantastic.
The roof's on the side. Those cool, like, the roofs. And then it seemed to me that the black drape was really tall this year behind the band that encloses the stage.
Yeah.
Right?
I was going to say, I think that that sort of reminded me I don't know when it was, 2012 or so, 2013, when Chris had a backdrop behind the band and would use that to play off of.
Sure.
There was some of that last night, I think. There
was
is some,
it because of the weather,
more
think,
of a
or just because of the rig, or maybe both? Because, I mean, I've been to Dick's three or four times and or years, and I don't remember it being that tall. Again, it's, you know, perspective since I'm not there.
My guess is it's the rig. I think that, I don't know, without knowing specific details, but my guess is that it has to do with his rig. It's just,
awesome.
It's immense. I mean, it just takes up a lot of real estate out there.
Cool. Vertical
but,
real estate.
Yes, very cool real estate.
Nice.
So, you know, I love those songs. Yes, of course. You know, the Carini, they were sort of, you know, in the dark side of things a bit longer than they have been recently before,
sure.
You know, the transition to the major. But they really wrote that out, and it was that was a pleasure. And I think Trey was doing a lot of playing around with that side device that he has, the Radiohead thing. I wish I had the right name. Someone had mentioned it, and I don't, you know, I play trumpet. I don't play guitar and know all of the hookups.
Like I said, Matt will know.
Yeah,
he'll tell us. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. And then the hood was also really powerful. It wasn't super long. I feel like it was more of a standard time, but they sort of just get everything they can out of whatever time they were playing last night. And some of that stretched into 25 minutes, but the hood was powerful. And, you know what? Cavern was excellent.
Really good. Just, you know, under 6 minutes, but that's great for Cavern. And I thought Trey's playing kind of like the fills almost that he was doing, in the Cavern were really spectacular. More than average, obviously, better than average. So I want to talk about, you mentioned the darkness. There was some darkness at the end of the No Man's, and then Carini was dark. Ghost was kind of that 3.0, a nice major peak at the end of it. It wasn't super funky or dark, but it was 17 minutes of just great Ghost.
It was fabulous.
Yeah, and then like you said, the hood was really, I thought it was delicate entry into the hood.
Yeah.
So that's just kind
of. It sort of reminded me of the Roger a little bit.
Sure.
Sort of the beginnings of the hood, you know, the hood jam. it has a lot of the same counter. I don't know. The effect of the counterplay for me is very similar with those songs.
Awesome.
So,
sure.
Yeah, no, and it was great. It was, you know, of course, patient. You know,
right.
They weren't sort of in a rush to get to the peak, and even sort of tease it, and then finally the place just erupted.
Nice.
When they hit it.
Right.
But yeah, there was a good amount of darkness, and for me, I almost think of it as silly darkness in a Fish kind of way.
Yeah, right.
You know, this is just here to freak us out.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but I like it when they're in that space. Of course, you know, I'm always a proponent of the Make Fish Evil Again.
nice.
Which, you know,
nice.
For me, you know, there were, you know, obviously some lyrical, you know, drawbacks to 2.0, but the evilness of those jams for me made it a pretty crazy couple years, you
sure,
know.
Sure.
But you know, you sort of never knew what you were going to get. And for me, you know, last night I was a little bit unsure what the band was going to be, and the fact that there's, you know, I would say they're maybe just a notch higher than they were at the end of the Baker's Dozen run.
Nice. That's incredible.
And,
I mean, it was incredible coming through the TV on the couch last night. I can only imagine.
I was wondering how it was on the feed.
Yeah, it was perfect.
And how that experience was.
Just wonderful. So let's talk a little about the encore, The Horse, which Trey's called Unnecessary. I think actually at Dick's before. And then Silent was really the first time that Paige sang by himself. I think I'll show. He seemed to be pretty... Yeah, I think so.
I think you're right about that. Yeah,
he seemed to not have a vocal impact until then. But it's a, you know, beautiful song. And then the Character Zero was just hilarious to watch Paige and Trey laugh about Trey absolutely fucking flubbing the intro. But
yeah, no,
they
there
killed
was,
the end of it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, that was a moment of comedy. I was unsure what was happening exactly. I don't know. It seemed like they were trying to modulate and do a tempo change, and it didn't quite all work out, but they found a way out of it.
Yeah.
As they always do.
Right. Right. It was,
I'd say this though, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the horse actually seemed to me to be a bit stretched out. Is that possible?
Yeah, it was longer than a minute 17, according to the live fish I have here. So,
I mean, Trey's phrasing of the his licks and that were, they were delicate. It was patient, and it wasn't static. You know, it was, he sort of,
right.
It seemed to have a little bit of extra to it. And Silent was great. And I think you're right about Paige and that, I wasn't aware of his vocals pretty much the whole show until about then. That entrance into Character Zero was interesting. they fixed it and
so
then
good.
Just blew it out and finished really strong. So
nice.
And then the only other thing is, you know, as you know, you've been here before, and if you're on a bus, that's the point where the stress level starts to take off, because you need to move it to get home.
Totally.
There's no hanging around at Dick's after the show. You got to go.
Right. It's it's not close to downtown, and it's not close to a lot of places where people stay. I mean, you could stay in Commerce City, but that's, you know, not highly recommended, I guess.
No, I will say this. It took us probably 40 minutes or so to get out of the bus lot with all the, lot more private shuttle buses and, you know, that kind of thing happening, and it's huge backlog. So I don't think we actually got back to downtown until about 1:30.
Oh, wow.
Which is unfortunate. So last call in Denver is at 1:30.
Oh, really? That's weird. So
it seems a little early, and
no complete post show shenanigans for you. I mean, you got two more nights ahead of you too.
I got two more nights. Yeah. And I actually, the one thing I did, we were talking about is I don't know. I could imagine camping in those campsites last night. It would have been outrageous. I mean,
the
25-year-old me would have probably loved that, but I'm beyond that point now.
Yeah, 25
and,
anymore, right?
No, I mean the those guys are just. I mean, if you're out there, you know, all the love to you. I mean, you're out in direct sunlight, you know, all day, and
right.
I just
not
that
many trees,
part of it
huh?
for me is. that part of it for me is not as inviting as it used to be.
Awesome.
But yeah, all in all, it's great. And I don't know. I'm sort of expecting Tweezer tonight, to be honest.
Nice.
It was mentioned to me that by the drummer that that he has homework.
Oh wow.
So I think there's going to be something. I'm not sure what that means.
So that's what I did want to end on your convo. Ask you about the convo with Fish. Where'd you see him?
My sister-in-law, it's her birthday actually on the 31st. So
oh wow, happy birthday!
We were somewhere, I think a Mexican place right near Union Station, it was really crazy. Actually, I got off the light rail, I was with my wife and brother, and I just turned around and 5 feet behind me was Fish just walking up the street, and was a little bit stunned at that point because we had just arrived in Denver.
Right.
I saw him a couple of years ago. We've known him for some time, and it was great to get around him. We did have some tequila, and he did not because he said he's not drinking until Sunday because he has homework. I did sing a little bit of Mexican Cousin. And he said he loved. And he said, "I love that song." I feel like that might make an appearance actually too.
So he told you.
And
you
if it
homework,
does, I'll take credit.
Did you go into the restaurant with him?
Yeah, so we were hanging out in the restaurant.
That's awesome. That's
I think
great.
He wanted some food. He was with a friend.
Cool.
As well, we just hung inside and chatted up and. Right now,
homework,
I'm not remembering
so
much
hopefully
of the conversation.
That's a, no, it's all good. He's got homework, so
but
we
homework
can,
was the key phrase.
Yeah, right. Maybe there's some sort of epic cover, or some sort of silliness for tonight. We didn't get anything except an epic second set on the Friday from the
right.
Friday show. Yeah,
yeah.
For us, right?
Yeah.
All right,
so I don't know, maybe Henrietta comes out, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, awesome.
Exactly. So I guess if I'm going to pick anything...
Yeah, let's talk about a little clip that we'll put on the end of this for everybody.
Yeah, good grief.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it would be somewhere in No Man's or Carini. Those would be my choices.
Awesome. All right.
So if you have a decision either way, go ahead. I'm good with either one.
We'll lock something in there for you and dedicate it to you and your Mexican cousin. Cool.
Oh, that'd be super.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much. Say hello to the family and have a great, great time the next 2 nights.
Okay. Thanks so much, Red.
All right. Yep. Talk to you soon.
Good to chat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.